you are. David is your son.
Yes.
It's David, except for Mary. But anyway, we took care of that, and but I should at least mention it. I'll mention it later. So.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to our time of worship today at Trinity. As you may notice, Pastor Sean is not here today. Some of you may know, actually, you should know through email that Pastor had a great holiday, as he says, but he brought back some COVID, and he and Jill have COVID. For Pastor, minor, but for Jill, a little bit more rough, so let's keep them in our prayers this day. And we want to welcome our visitors online, our members online, and we're glad you're with us. And especially as we have today, this Sunday, we can celebrate the liquid sunshine. Yes, liquid sunshine today. So we'll be looking at the gospel reading today from Luke chapter 11. And you may notice it's the shorter version of the Lord's Prayer. So if any of you are having devotion times that are running too long, there we go. So let us begin our time of worship as we turn to our opening hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. I invite you to stand as you are able.
Thank you.
and 1. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dear friends, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us now pause a few moments to reflect upon our relationship with our Holy God, recognizing according to the Ten Commandments that we are indeed sinners, and that we need, and we need desperately, forgiveness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father.
Always listen to God. We confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have done. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your presence.
Amen.
with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord, let your merciful ears be attentive to the prayers of your servants. And by your word and spirit, teach us how to pray, that our petitions may be pleasing before you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated as we continue with the readings. The Old Testament reading for today is recorded in Genesis chapter 18, beginning with verse 20. Then the Lord said, "Because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and their sin is very grave, I will go down to see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come before me. And if not, I will know." So the men turned from there, the three men who were with Abraham, but the two other men went before them. But Abraham stood before the Lord. Then Abraham drew near and said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to put the righteous so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just?" And the Lord said, "If I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Abraham answered and said, "Behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord, I who am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5? And he said, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." Again, Abraham spoke to him and said, "Suppose 40 are there." He answered, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 are found there." He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." Abraham said, "Behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak again but this once. Suppose 10 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." And the Lord went on his way when he had finished speaking to Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle reading for today is from Colossians chapter 2, beginning with verse 6. "Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In him you also were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them in open shame by triumphing over them in him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us stand as we honor the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 11th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation." And Jesus said to them, "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
We continue as we confess our faith together using the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated, and we continue with our next hymn, Blessed Jesus at Your Word. In the name of Jesus, our risen Savior and Lord, amen. Our focus is the gospel reading, as we said before, the account that has the shorter version of the Lord's Prayer. And we have the theme this morning that some of you will hopefully recall because of the musical portion of the message. Our theme, knocking on heaven's door. Knocking on heaven's door. Let me read again. The relevant portion of our text, verses 5 through 10 of Luke 11, this time from the NIV translation. Suppose one of you has a friend, says Jesus, and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked. And my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I, Jesus, say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Today, many people avoid responding to someone who is knocking on their front door. In fact, we don't even have knockers on our front doors anymore, do we? Maybe ornamental ones. But what we have is, of course, one of those ring machines, so we can look at who's there before they even maybe hit the push the button, maybe. And so we can see who it is, and then, of course, we can easily dismiss them, or if it's somebody we maybe want to see, which is not very likely, we can respond. Those knocking on our door usually want to sell something, or sign us up for something, or enlist help in some way. And of course, many of us refuse to answer the door because we don't want to be bothered. We don't want to be bothered. Our cell phones do that enough. All too often, we Christians, though, seem to think that our Heavenly Father operates the same way. We may feel that our needs and our prayers are only bothering God. And so we avoid knocking on heaven's door. Knocking on heaven's door. Yes, that's Bob Dylan, and that's from Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid. And I hope I've not lost most of you men out there. And maybe with women, actually, too, come to think of it. But knocking. Let's look at knocking in Jesus' story. Now, we have modern misconceptions about this story just because of the change in cultures and change in time. Many, when they read these verses, will conclude that the friend knocking on the door at midnight is doing something very inappropriate or maybe even insane. No one would think of knocking on a friend's door at midnight in order to ask for bread. We have 24-hour food stores, don't we? We have Casey's, we have Circle K, etc. And so we don't really understand fully what Jesus is saying. Well, it's important to understand the ancient customs that are involved here, because we can't understand the story fully unless we understand Palestinian or Oriental, we might say, hospitality during the time of Jesus' earthly ministry. To help us gain insight in this, there's a book by Ken Bailey called Poet and Peasant, and he has a lot of background material that helps us understand this story, this account of Jesus. Bailey tells us, the Oriental responsibility to his guest is legendary. The Oriental listener or reader cannot imagine silly excuses about a closed door or sleeping children when the adequate entertainment of a guest is the issue. That's the most important thing for the Middle Eastern mind, Oriental mind. Take care of the guest or visitor. It's paramount. Another example of that we had just last Sunday. You can look at last week's Old Testament reading when we heard about Abraham and his three visitors. Even in the great heat of the day, and we've had great heat of the day to relate to that, haven't we? Abraham sees three men show up. He quickly tells his wife to make bread. He sends a young man, actually he goes into the field and gets a young calf, a choice calf. He gives it to a servant to prepare. And he says, gentlemen, sit down. We're going to have a meal for you. We're going to let you be sure to be refreshed. He goes through all that effort in the heat of the day. Many of us would probably not do that, would we? But that practice of 1,800 years before Jesus was still in place when Jesus spoke to his disciples. Now, according to Bailey, The crucial element in this initial part of the parable is that the guest is a guest of the community, not just of the individual. In going to his neighbor, the host is really asking the sleeper to fulfill the duty of a guest of a village, of the whole village. As long as his request is modest enough, refusal would be unthinkable. Now, this understanding fits well with what follows, in the sense that nobody at that time would imagine a father who would offer the excuse of being in bed with his children and behind a locked door to be an excuse for saying, "No, I won't do it." By the way, in case you're wondering, it was common for the whole family to sleep together in a single room, often on a mat that was unrolled on the floor. So they'd all be together, not in a bed like we think of it, but on a mat, all together. Now, in the same way, nobody who could imagine a father who would give his son a stone instead of a scorpion, or if he asked for a fish for something else. And so Jesus is saying here, with an analogy, how much more they could expect to receive help from their Father in heaven. Bailey also reminds us, accustomed to eating with metal utensils, fork, knife, spoon, etc., that bread was and is the eating utensil of Palestine. He says, quote, "Each person has a loaf of bread in front of him. He breaks off a bite-sized piece, dips it in the common dish, and then eats it. And then when it's going to have another bite, he breaks off that part of the bread, puts it in the gravy or the sauce or the main meal, you might say, and then eats that one meal." So in this case, the bread is not just bread, the meal, it's also how you eat the meal as well. In many cases, people then would not be eating. They have no idea of us cracking open a bag or a box of chips or something like that. No way, that's no way. Thus, it was not that the friend at midnight was asking for food for the meal. He was actually, he wanted it known that the man sleeping in his house should take care of this great need of not only food, but of how to eat that food as well. Now, it was customary for the women in the village to bake bread at one time, a large number of loaves at one time, and then they would distribute the loaves among themselves. And so some may have gone through that bread faster than others. And that's what the idea is with this account. Given the community expectations about hospitality, the request could only be answered by, "Yes, of course I will get you the bread." Now, how does that fit to prayer? We're talking about prayer, of course. And again, we have maybe some misunderstandings about prayer in our own day and age. Misunderstandings about how we knock on heaven's door. For one thing, prayer is not a magical process. Merely repeating a formula for automatic results. Here's an example of a modern example. A U.S. Army Gulf War veteran was entitled to a check from the government for $183.69. Instead, of course, he received from the government $836,939.19 due to a computer error. He was charged with spending the money and filing a false tax return. And the man argued that this was a gift from God. As it came to him, as after an incident where he paused on a lonely road at night and prayed to God that God would provide means for him to be self-sufficient. So he thought God had provided. God answered his prayer. That's not how it works, folks. Even with the lottery. Prayer is also not a bargaining process, even though we might seem to think that as we look at our Old Testament reading for today. The idea that if God, I do something, then you, God, will respond in some way. God, if you restore my marriage, or if you provide me with a better job or whatever, then I'll come back to church. A lot of times on the battlefield, people make those kind of prayers. But Abraham was not bargaining with God. We cannot bargain with God. There's no way we can bargain with God. But Abraham instead was being persistent in prayer. He was being persistent. He asked one thing, God said yes. And then he says, okay, I'm going to ask another thing, and God said yes. And another thing, and God said yes. It wasn't bargaining. We might think it is, but that's persistent prayer. Because what do? When we need something, when we're hurting, we're sick, we have a loved one who's very ill, we pray again and again and again. We keep on being persistent in prayer. That's what Jesus is talking about here. Be persistent in prayer. Now, knocking on heaven's door is the true prayer that Jesus encourages us here. It's not magic, it's not bargaining, but it is a matter of faith, a matter of faith. Because of Jesus, of course, and his completed work of salvation, believers, that means you and I, people of faith, have open access to the Father. And this is an amazing concept, and there's a story I'll share here that gives the better idea of what that means to have open access. We can talk to God about anything at any time. During the Civil War, there was a Union soldier whose brother and father had been killed, and so this man went to Washington, D.C. to see President Lincoln. He wanted a release which would allow him to go home and take over spring planting. There was no one on his farm to be able to do spring planting. So when he got to the White House, he tried every imaginable way to see the president. At every attempt, he was turned down. And so discouraged, he wandered across the street to a small park. Obviously, there was not the fences and the security and such in 1863. And so he sat down, and he didn't know what to do. And so all of a sudden, a little boy comes up and says, "Sir, you look unhappy. What's wrong?" So the soldier told him his hopeless story. Immediately, the lad took the soldier by the hand, led him back around to the back of the White House, through the back door, past the guards, past the officials, government officials, and directly into the president's office. The little boy didn't even knock, but walked right in saying, "Daddy, this soldier needs to talk to you." And so in a short time, that soldier was headed home for spring planting. No other boy could have done what that boy did, because that was the president's son. He alone could open the door. No one else could. Now, in our walk through life, we need to realize that Jesus is the son who went to the Father for us. He was the son that paid the price of our sins. He was the son who gave his life for us, that the Father would say, "Yes, indeed, I will provide, I will give, I will take care of you." In our walk through life, he is our truth. In our walk through life and weaknesses, he is our Savior who forgives us and helps us. In our walk through hardship and adversity, Jesus is our Lord who equips us and steadies us with his own strength. Through Christ, we can easily knock on heaven's door. And Jesus reminds us again that his Father desires to hear our prayers. And he wants to answer also. So Jesus says, and I'll add the emphasis of the Greek words, ask and seek and knock. So Jesus says, "So I say to you, keep on asking and it will be given to you. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened." Sir Walter Raleigh of England came, as he had frequently done, to Elizabeth, the Queen of England, with a certain petition. The Queen, somewhat indignant at this point, remarked, "Sir Walter, when will you ever stop to approach me with petitions?" And Raleigh quickly answered, "When the Queen will stop to give me my petitions." And so it should be with us as believers in Christ, as Christians. As long as the promise of God, our Heavenly Father, is that it will be given to you, as long as that stands and it never will end, we should pray without ceasing, as St. Paul says. And so, dear friends in Christ, keep on knocking on heaven's door. Amen. May the peace of God, which goes beyond all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds as you grow in a faith that prays with faith now until the day that Jesus returns. Amen. We stand now and we sing the offertory. For the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, your Son has taught us to pray that your name would be hallowed and your kingdom come. And for all our needs of body and soul, grant us trusting hearts that turn to you in all joy and sorrow, finding in your fatherly goodness all that we ask, seek, need, or desire. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious Lord, your righteous Son intercedes for sinners before your throne. When the outcry of our sin troubles us, grant faithful pastors to speak your word of warning and comfort, that we may be drawn in repentance to his cross and seek shelter in his mercy, and so escape destruction. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty Father, you have given all rule and authority to Jesus Christ, our Lord. May our homes be permeated by your word, that all families may dwell in the light of your Son. Grant your Holy Spirit to husbands and wives, parents and children, young and old, that we may not be taken captive by the spirit of the world, but rather be built up into him who is the head. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of hosts, you judge the sinful deeds of man in righteousness. Grant us civil leaders who serve in accordance with your will, condemning what is evil and approving what is good. May all nations be brought to see the wisdom and glory of your Son and dwell together in peace and humility. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Father, you give good gifts to your children. Grant your Holy Spirit to those who suffer in body, mind, and soul. Remember Pastor Sean and Jill, who face COVID at this time. We pray also for Phyllis Jarrett in the hospital with a brain aneurysm, the friend of Joyce and Phil Bell. We pray for Kim Hsu. We pray also for Denise McWilliams, who has multiple medical challenges at this time. We also, Lord, add those we know ourselves and bring them before you in the quietness of our hearts. We thank you that you hear our prayers, whether spoken or silent. O Lord, be with those we have prayed for, that they would be confident of your mercy. They also may look to you for comfort and peace in their afflictions. Grant them healing according to your will and patience to bear their crosses. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, you have planted us in Christ by your word and spirit through the waters of holy baptism. May those who partake of Christ's body and blood this day be firmly rooted and built up in your Son, that established in the faith, we may walk in him and abound in thanksgiving. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing and look to you as the giver of all good gifts. We thank you, Lord, for what you have been able to work in the building of our fellowship hall. Continue that work that we might serve you even more effectively in the months and years to come. By your Holy Spirit, bring us to behold in Christ the fulfillment of those things for which we pray, your holy name, your coming kingdom, daily bread, forgiveness, shelter in temptation, and deliverance from every evil. All this through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue with our celebration of the Lord's Supper. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who, having created all things, took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing, are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you've created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us now continue with the prayer our Lord Jesus has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." The same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Take and drink this true blood of your Savior, Jesus Christ, shed on the cross for all of your sins. And dear one, in your baptism, you have forgiveness, life, and salvation. Amen. In your baptism, you have forgiveness, life, and salvation. Amen. Take and drink this precious blood of your Savior, Jesus, shed for you. Take and drink this true blood of your Savior and your Lord, Jesus Christ, shed on the cross for all of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of your Savior and your Lord Jesus Christ, shed on the cross for all of your sins. Take and drink this true blood of your Savior and your Lord Jesus Christ, shed on the cross for all of your sins. Take and drink this true blood of your Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you. Take and drink. This is the true blood your Savior and your Lord Jesus Christ, shed on the cross for all of your sins. Take and drink this true blood of your Savior and your Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you. Now may the true body and blood of your Savior and your Lord strengthen you in the faith to life eternal. Your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. Amen.
Lord's table.
drink this true blood of your Savior Jesus Christ, shed on the cross for the forgiveness of every one of your sins. Take and drink this true blood of your Savior Jesus shed for you. Take and drink. This is the true blood of your Savior Jesus Christ shed for all of your sins. Take and drink this precious blood of your Savior Jesus shed for you. Take and drink this true blood of your Savior Jesus Christ shed on the cross for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Take and drink this precious blood of your Savior Jesus shed on the cross for all of your sins. And now may the true body and blood of your Savior and your Lord strengthen you in the faith to life eternal. Your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. Amen. We stand for prayer. We give thanks to you, Almighty God. You have again refreshed us through this salutary gift.
And we implore you that of your mercy, you can strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you, and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, bless you and keep you. Lord, may his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord looks upon you this favor and gives you peace.
Amen.
We continue as we sing our final hymn, the three verses of O Our Father, who from heaven above, a Luther hymn who not only wrote the words, but he also music as well. announcement I missed at the beginning. The LWNL is collecting for Orphan Brain Train. We moved from originally from Nebraska, which provides truckloads of needed materials to be sent overseas. And so they're gathering school supplies, and so there are these lists out in our place that have everything that they need. So please take a look at that and get that as you can, please. And as we continue from here, let's go from here. Let us be prayed with more boldness and confidence. For we know the Son, who knows the Father, and He has given us all things. So let's pray boldly as we knock on heaven's door.